We've been talking for the last couple days about being established.
And amen.
We talked about the reasons, the importance of rightly dividing the word of truth. So, if I can find a marker for this board, we're going to continue that this morning. So, Friday night, we said to be established in Romans 16, 25, and 26. Paul used the word establish. That's the word of God, inspired, given to Paul. Number one was Paul's gospel. You read that in 25. Number two, preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And number three, when we look down in verse 26 there, in Romans 16, 25, and 26, if you want to turn there, we're going to continue. He gives us three things to establish this. And we'll read that, and we'll show you those three things, and then we're going to head off into some passages. I'm going to shorten the message up quite a bit because of our need to get back home and get things settled and get ready for what's going to be a busy week for us there in North Carolina. But before we do that, let me tell you this. We talked about it on breakfast this morning. We have just absolutely enjoyed our time with you folks.
Amen.
It's been worth all the time. It's been worth all the efforts. Thankful for Paul and his efforts. Thankful for you guys and your efforts. We have just absolutely would like to load you up and take you home with us. We've had a great time. We really have a great time of fellowship, great time in the Word of God. And that is our fellowship, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
So I want you to look here again, Romans 16, 25, 26. The Apostle Paul, given by inspiration of God, he said, now to him, that is a power to establish you according to my gospel. That was Friday night. Mm-hmm. We talked about the gospel given unto Paul, the gospel of the grace of God given unto Paul, how that was different than the gospel of the kingdom being preached by the 12. He said, establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery, which was kept secret since the world began.
Amen.
So last night we touched on that new man. Paul touched on it. I touched on it. Preaching Christ according to the revelation of mystery. Look at verse 26. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So today, we're going to finish this up by the scriptures of the prophets. So there's three things there for God to establish. Gospel, Christ according to revelation of mystery, and the scripture of the prophets. There's a list there. Right? He gives us that list. Hold your hand right there in Romans 16, 25, and 26. And then turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. As you've got your hand on Romans 16, 25, 26, I want you to read 25 more times in Romans. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was what?
Kept
secret since the world began. You see that?
Yeah.
So this is secret information that was given to Paul, but now as Paul's got it, he said it's now made manifest, right? Mm-hmm. It's made known. Mm-hmm. Now back over here, look at Acts chapter 3 and look at verse 18 and following. Those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his holy prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may, that's future, mm-hmm. may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's a time frame.
Right.
There is a coming time when Israel will have their sins blotted out in that new covenant, in that kingdom.
Amen.
So here you see may be blotted out. There's a time coming for them to have their sins blotted out. That is yet future for them.
Right.
Right? So now watch verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Watch verse 21. whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Paul said, what I'm preaching in Romans 16, 25 about the mystery was kept secret. Peter says, what he's preaching back here, God has made known since what? Since the very beginning. Let me ask you something. Can something that's been made known and something that's been kept secret be the same thing?
No way.
Folks, it don't matter if they're planting corn. If they're planting corn, Peter's saying, I'm planting corn the way the Father's always planted corn. Paul's saying, God gave me a secret and a new way to plant corn. Does that make it simple for you? They're doing two different things, folks. And there's a purpose for that, because Paul's got a new gospel. Paul's preaching Jesus Christ according to the mystery, not according to prophecy, right?
Amen.
And then Paul tells us that we may understand both programs, heaven and earth. We also need what? The scriptures of the prophets. Yeah. All right? So that's where we're going to start this morning. Turn back to the book of Psalm. I saw this before I ever came to write the vision, and I've never seen Psalm the same again. Psalm 22, go there with me. I think you'll see this by the way we just described what the scriptures of the prophets are. Right there, you got Psalm 22. I'm going to show you in a shortcut, if you will, for the sake of time, what the prophets were seeing, what the prophets were prophesying of. We'll show you in a shortcut. Psalm 22, Psalm 23. I know how you've heard that used. Psalm 24.
Oh, yeah. Lord is my shepherd.
All right. So Psalm 22, look here in verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from thy helping me and from the words of my roaring? Folks, that's straight out of the book of Matthew.
That's right.
Matthew 27:46. Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have I forsaken me?
Right.
1,300 years before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the prophet saw the suffering Savior.
Amen.
And it's right there in Psalm 22. You see that? Jesus Christ, the psalmist, is prophesying of the death of Jesus Christ. Now, when you read Psalm 22, here's the unique thing about Psalm 22. You're going to get the cross from the perspective of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Right.
Not men looking up to the cross,
amen,
but Christ himself on the cross.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the way you're going to see it in the first person. You're going to see it through Jesus Christ as he's on the cross. Alright? So here we've got the suffering Savior. The suffering Lamb. As Brother Jim talked about there in his teaching. Absolute. The Passover, right? And here we have the Passover, brother, right here in Psalm 22, the suffering lamb. Alright? Look at Psalm 23. Starting at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have no clue what that man is going to teach us more. Now, James 5 talked about the anointing of the oil. This is the preservation of the little flock out of Revelation chapter 12. Is this not, I know how this is used, funerals and all those things. This is the tribulation for Israel. You get the suffering lamb, and over here you get the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, and that's what the psalmist is writing about. He's writing about that time of the valley of the shadow of death when Israel will be taken out into the wilderness here, And they'll be preserved in a place which God has already predestined. Okay. And he will take care of them, prepare a table for them, keep them through that tribulation period. Look at Revelation. Keep your fingers there on Psalm somehow. How many hands you got? 3, 4? All right, put something there and go back here to Revelation and look at chapter 12. We got to, for the sake of reading, look at chapter 12. We'll start at verse 5. And it's talking about Israel here. She brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up unto God and to his throne. That right there, I used to read that as Jesus Christ himself. That's the 144,000 right there.
Yeah.
That God is going to take out of the earth in the midst of the second part of the tribulation. He's going to call that 144,000 out of the earth. Now look up here, verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and yet that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, right? Having great wrath, because he know he had but a short time. That's what he has cast down into the earth, right? Now watch this. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. That's believing Israel, which brought forth a man child, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly where? Into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. You see this? And the serpent cast out his mouth of water, a flood, after the woman, that she might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. You see that? Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that valley of the shadow of death follows the suffering of the Lamb here. Now there's something that's not mentioned in Psalm 22, 23, and 24. You know what it is? That's the dispensation of the grace of God. You know why? They didn't see that. The prophets never saw the dispensation of the grace of God. What the prophets saw and what the scriptures of the prophets are seeing, they're seeing the suffering Lamb, they're seeing the tribulation of Jacob's trouble, and they're seeing the return of the great king.
Yeah.
When the great king returns, he's going to set up a throne in the earth for 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years, Satan will be put into a bottomless pit.
Amen.
Amen. That he deceived the nations anymore until the 1,000 years is over. After that 1,000 years is over, he'll be loose for a little while, and he'll go out and bring a band of people up to overthrow the great city. And Jesus Christ himself will go out and destroy them with the word of his mouth.
Amen.
And this is what the prophets saw. The prophets never saw the Apostle Paul.
Right.
The apostles never saw the mystery church,
right,
the body of Christ. What they saw and what Paul is saying, if you know this, along with the mystery, you know God's twofold purpose.
Yeah.
Remember the twofold purpose? Look back in Ephesians in chapter 1. And this is what the church has missed, folks. People are out here, they literally believe when you go get this vaccine that they're shooting 666 in your arm. Can I tell you that 666 is not a fact until the middle of the tribulation,
amen,
when the Antichrist is revealed. Amen?
Amen.
Right. And you and I will not be here for that event. That's what the prophets saw.
Amen.
You and I are on the dispensation of the grace of God, and we're leaving here before
that. Thank God.
Amen.
And people say, well, you're trying to get out of this thing easier. I'm not trying to do anything except believe God's word. When you read the Bible, he said there's a time of Jacob's trouble. Underline that. Whose trouble?
Jacob.
Jacob was also called what? Israel. He was promised to Israel back here. You can go back to the prophets. You can go back to Isaiah, Zechariah, Jeremiah. All those prophets, Daniel, all of them were prophesying this time here of the Lamb suffering the tribulation and the glory that should follow.
Amen.
Amen. That's the Bible, folks.
Fine.
Look here at Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul and I both have hidden this all weekend. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Watch this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, that's us folks, and what? That which is in earth. gospel leaving Israel into the kingdom over there. He's going to put everything in here that's been made right by God. He's going to put everything there that's been made right by God under the headship of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You want to know what the Bible is really about? It ain't about you and your family.
Nope.
It ain't about all these things that people want to wrap around you. It's about God Almighty working out His perfect plan for heaven and earth to be in His Son at the end of all.
Amen.
Amen. This book is about Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
This book is about Jesus Christ. Now, we have taken the Bible and watered the Word of God down, and we've made it about our everyday life and all this and how we're no longer going to be sick. And folks, over here, the Bible says the inhabitants of that city shall say, I'm sick no more.
Yeah.
That's after that kingdom has started. When you and I go there, we'll be sick no more.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's
we're going to face tribulation this life. We're not going through the tribulation of the great tribulation. But we're going to face tribulation this life. Every one of us doing. You know why?
Amen.
Because we're in sin, fallen flesh.
Yep.
Right.
Amen. You want to know why we have the problems in this life? It's because of Adam.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
His disobedience brought it up on us. Go back to Psalm there. Psalm 22, 23, 24. When it gets put in its correct perspective, I'll show you this. And I think it makes sense. If you come to Psalm 22, you're going to have the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At the end of every one of those books, Jesus Christ is what? He's crucified, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the very first verse in the Bible? My God, why have I forsaken thee? That's Jesus Christ crying out from the cross,
yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah.
When you come over here, folks, and you're in this tribulation period, you're looking at the book of Hebrews, and you're going to go up through Hebrews to Jude. That's tribulation Israel. And people want to apply that to the body of Christ.
Oh, no, you can't.
And that's what's confused the body of Christ. They don't know if they're coming. They don't know if they're going.
Yeah.
They don't know if they're going into their trip.
Yeah.
They don't know if it's going to be free, mid, or post.
Yeah.
They're all confused.
Yeah.
Paul said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
Yeah.
When you understand what the Apostle Paul, what his ministry is all about, and what Paul taught last night is correct. When you understand what he is teaching us about the mystery, about Jesus Christ according to the mystery, now you can come back here and fill out the timeline for heaven and earth. Amen?
Amen.
Most people only see the earthly program of Jesus Christ. All right? And most people are back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you get over here to Psalm 24, folks, you're in the book of Revelation. All right? That means that second coming of Jesus Christ, right? That's where he comes back. Now, I know all about the first few chapters of Revelation. I understand the bold judgments. I understand all that. But here's what I'm trying to say. They're getting from here, Hebrews to Jude, they're going over here. And this is their end result, that endurance that Brother Jim talked about. The end result is to get here at Jesus Christ's second coming, have all their sins blotted out, put under that new covenant in which there be no need for a Jew to go to anyone else and ask them about the Word of God, because the Bible says they will all know me from the greatest to the least, right?
Yeah.
And then from there, they'll begin to teach remnant Gentiles about the law of God and
right.
Up to the mount of God. All right, so that's chapter 23. Look at chapter 24. Look how the Word starts out right here. The what?
Earth.
Earth.
Yeah.
What program are we in when we're in prophecy?
Earth.
Where's the heavenly kingdom going to be? In the earth, right? Great Jerusalem is that city, right? Where's that at, folks? That's not your hometown. That's not Becky, West Virginia. That's not Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's not Liberty University.
Right.
All right? That is where? Jerusalem.
Man.
You look at the map, it's in the Middle East,
yeah.
Right? So people twist the Bible up like that. I told them at church here a while back, you can watch the movie Jaws backwards and get a love story, can't you? People get their arms back, get their legs back, and all that business. You can twist the Word of God up to do anything you want it to do.
That's
but when
right.
You take it, lay it out on God's timeline, you'll get the fruit of what God wants you to
amen.
Do.
Amen.
And right. You won't be confused.
That's right. That's
amen.
Right.
And you think about the masses out there this morning that are in so-called churches. They've been going there 30 and 40 years, giving half of everything they own.
Yeah.
Just giving it, and they have no clue about what we're talking about this morning.
Yeah. No,
and this is plain and simple. It's a nose on your face when you get to see it.
Amen.
Watch here. He said the earth. Right there is where the kingdom is going to be, folks. He's going to set up on his throne of glory. We're at in the earth. And he's going to do what? He's going to rule with a rod of iron. You're going to have the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles sitting up on 12 thrones, and they're going to be ruling with those tribes, amen, in the earth.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
You're a heavenly person.
Yep.
Your flight is not to go over to the Middle East. Your flight is to go up here to meet Jesus Christ and declare, that's not prophesied. You do not find the rapture in prophecy.
Amen.
Amen. It's not there. It wasn't known by the prophets that God was going to bring in a 2,000-year period here. Well, so far, 2,000-year period. Then which ever man could be saved without prophecy, without Israel? All he could do is believe that Jesus Christ died for sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for his justification without a priesthood. That's
Amen.
Not prophesied.
Amen.
That's not prophesied. I'll show you what's prophesied. Hold your hand there in the book of Psalms. We're going back there and look at Isaiah 60. Here's what it should have been according to prophecy and will be according to prophecy. Look at Isaiah chapter 60 and watch the wording. This is prophecy, folks. This is prophecy here. Isaiah chapter 60. Starting at verse 1. He says, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness." Folks, that's right in there in that tribulation period. Gross darkness. It's going to be a dark time when the tribulation comes.
Amen.
When the great tribulation comes. Gross darkness. Watch this. He said, "But the Lord shall rise up on thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." That's believing Israel. What's this? "And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of" what? Their rising. What did we learn in the book of Romans chapter 11? We got salvation because of their fall, not because of their rise. Folks, right. That can't be the same thing.
Amen.
Right? At
Amen.
The end of Acts chapter 28, verse 28, Brother Jim talked about this morning. Paul says, "I go to the Gentiles and they shall receive it." In Acts chapter 13, he said, "We're going to the Gentiles." In Acts chapter 18, he says, "We will go to the Gentiles." Acts 28, he said, "We're going to the Gentiles."
Right.
Going, going, going. Israel rejected the counsel of God. And God said, "That's okay." God didn't have plan B. We were planned in God, as Paul taught last night before the foundation of the
Amen.
World. God said, "I've got a people," right, "who were not a people." And here we are today, the mystery church of Christ. Can you see that? We did not get salvation according to Israel's rites.
No.
Right? We didn't get salvation by blessing Israel. We got salvation because of the dispensation of the grace of God. We believe that Christ died for our sins, buried, rose again the third day. And we don't need a nation to go through to get our salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't need a priesthood. We've got the head of the church. Jesus Christ himself, the Savior, the head of the body. Amen? Back in Psalm 24. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Watch this. This is the generation, that believing little flock over there in Revelation chapter 12. "This is the generation to them that seek him and that seek his face, old Jacob's Salah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the" what? "The King of glory shall come in."
Amen.
The King of glory, right over here, folks, when he returns to earth, when he steps out on the Mount of Olives, when he's made war in the valley of Armageddon, when he's done all that, and he goes over here and he sets up on his throne of glory. Right? And then Israel, believing Israel, is put in that same place. That salvation of Israel was to be saved from their oppressors, to live in the earth with the Lord all of their days. Whenever you're in the book of Psalms, when he says this, go back to Psalm 23 and read this. When he's talking about the house of the Lord there, we misuse so many scriptures when we don't write the divine, right? Look at verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." How long?
Forever.
That's right over here, folks. Right over here. I'm going to show you that in some more passages, right? All right, this is the earthly prophetic scriptures to Israel. A microcosm of Matthew through John. All right, that's the suffering lamb. Then the tribulation was to follow. That's what Peter was preaching at that day of Pentecost. Peter was not preaching to the body of Christ. Peter was preaching to Israel. Yes. You can go to the book of Acts and read that he's preaching that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. He's talking about the end of time. He's talking about when the sun shall not give its light, when the moon is turned to blood, and there's vapor and fire and smoke. Folks, that's the end of time.
Amen.
That's at the end of the prophetic program. That's the end of the tribulation period, and then Christ returns to earth.
Amen.
He set up his throne in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
That's what Peter's preaching. Now, that had been made known since the beginning.
Right.
Then a man comes on over here and says, hey, I'm preaching something to you that's kept secret.
Yep.
And we're going to say it's the same thing. Let me ask you a question. And let's just take spirituality out of this for a second. If I sit here and tell you that Brother Jim's going to go, let's just say there's a basement that's built and I have no clue there is not. But let's say Brother Jim says, I'm going to the basement. And I said, well, I'm going to get up on top. Are those the same thing?
No.
One is down there and one's up here.
Right.
Fine, let's say I'm going to tell you something, Brother Jim, nobody's ever heard of me. All right, I'm going to tell you a secret. I've never told anybody in my life. Now, that'd be hard for a human to do. I know, we got to tell everything, don't we? But let's say for instance, let's falsify that for a second. And I just say, Brother Jim, I'm going to give you a secret. I've never told anybody. And he's the first one to hear it, right? And then over here, I tell my wife, well, you know I've always taught it that way, right, right, right? Are they the same thing? No, they're not. What I gave Jim, he's the first one to get it.
Man.
All right, never been told before. What I gave her, I've been speaking for the last 30 years. They're different,
man.
Right? So Paul was that man. Paul was that man, Jim, sitting there, that when he got it first. Amen? It was given unto him. And it's not concerning this program in the earth for you and I.
Right.
What Paul was preaching was the mystery, how God is doing things in this dispensation.
Amen.
And this dispensation is going to end with the rapture. We talked about that last night. All right, there's some promises in the book. I do want to show you this. Look at Luke chapter 13. I tell you what, on your way up there, stop at Daniel. And then I'm going to run just a few more verses and we're going to be done. So as you're going up through there, get a hold of Daniel. To see this stuff. I tell you, the folks that come to our assembly, I tell them all the time, I'd have given anything that when I was in religion, that somebody was taking the time to show me these passages and go over them with me. Alright, I'm going to show you something here in the book of Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 2. Was Daniel a prophet?
Yep.
Yes.
Did Daniel know anything about Paul?
No.
No.
Do you know anything about the dispensation of the grace of God?
No.
Absolutely
no.
Not. Why? Because it's still a secret
to
God.
Right.
Right.
So look here at Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Plain and simple what Israel's looking for. It's all over the Bible when you read the passages and keep them where it's supposed to be. 2:44. In these days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up on a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, shall not be left to the Gentiles. But it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, all the Gentile kingdoms. It shall stand how long?
Forever.
Forever. So Daniel is prophesying about what?
Kingdom.
This kingdom.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Can you miss that?
No.
You can't miss that, can you? So right there in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, you see that the kingdom is promised.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? He's promised a kingdom. The God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom in the earth. It's going to consume all the other kingdoms of the earth. And when this kingdom starts, there will be no end. Now look up at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I just wonder, what in the world is John the Baptist preaching when he comes out of the wilderness? Look here, chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And he's saying what? Repent ye for what?
Kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah.
So Daniel in 2:44 promises the kingdom. Matthew 3, 1 through 3. John says what? Kingdom's at hand.
Yeah.
Right? Can we miss that?
Nope.
Nope.
Can't miss it, can we?
Nope.
They didn't get it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did they? Look up at Luke chapter 13. You in the short rows now, folks, we're going right down here to the end of this thing as we run these last few references. Can I tell you that when you write the divided word of truth, even the parables make sense?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because I'm not trying to put myself
that's
in the parable.
That's right.
I know I'm not in those parables. I know he's not speaking those parables about me. There might be some spiritual application there. But you know what? You've got to be careful about spiritualizing the scriptures. Because if you spiritualize, you will blind spiritual lies.
Yes.
Because you end up telling spiritual lies. So the people beneath you won't see the scripture properly. They'll go through the book trying to make everything about them. That's why you got to be careful about spiritualizing the scripture.
That's right.
You need to take it for who it's talking
that's
about.
Right. That's
where,
right.
When, and who's speaking.
Yep.
Right? That's the basics of reading all together. And it's definitely core when you're coming to reading the Bible. Look here at 13:6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree and planted his vineyard, Israel. And he came and sought fruit thereupon and found none. They were apostasy, folks. Unbelief. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years. How long was Jesus preaching to Israel?
Three years.
I come seeking fruit on this tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why comest to ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. What did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? Watch this. And if it bear fruit, well, if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So from the cross right here, Jesus said, forgive them. That vineyard got 1 year of mercy. And it rolled out to Acts chapter 7. When they go out to Acts chapter 7, they stole Stephen full of the Holy Ghost. They had rejected John the Baptist, which was a prophet sent from God, cut his head off. They rejected the Son of God and nailed him to the cross. They rejected the Holy Ghost speaking through Stephen and stoned him. One, two, three, you're out.
Right.
They fall in Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 8. You begin to see that they're scattered because of the persecution of Saul, God's chief enemy. In Acts chapter 9, he saves his chief enemy and makes him his chief apostle to the church, the body of Christ. Now that makes more sense than what we grew up in.
Amen.
That makes more sense than what we grew up in. Paul was supposed to be back here with the 12, and he just carried out the ministry they got my hind leg.
Amen.
Paul is preaching that which was kept secret since the world began. And Peter's preaching that by the prophets had been known and spoken by the prophets.
That's good.
Amen.
You couldn't miss that if you tried, if you really wanted. Amen.
That's right.
But you got to want it. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want the other garbages out there.
Nope.
I'm just sorry to tell you I had enough of it. I sat under it. I was in it. I was as confused as a termite in a wooden yo-yo for a bunch of years. Didn't want to admit it. Felt dumb every time I left a church building. Didn't know if I was saved. Didn't know if I was lost. Didn't know if I was going up, going down, going sideways. And then one day,
amen.
I got all this truth. And I'm not much, but I'm all y'all got this morning. Amen. Look here in Acts chapter 3 on our way up to finish this thing off. Acts chapter 3. So in Luke, right there in 13, we can say there was a delay of at least a year, right? You had a delay. They had not received it. What was the program? Israel had to be saved. National Israel had to be saved first. You will be endued with power, right? And then they're going to go out. It didn't happen, folks.
No, they failed.
I'm sorry, it did not happen.
They failed.
That Great Commission of Acts 28, I'm sorry to tell the people who are living under it, it has not happened yet, and you're not carrying it out.
Nope.
It won't be carried out until the Jews carry it out, believing Israel carried it out.
Amen.
And that makes people mad, I know, because we grew up on that one as well. Look here in Acts 3:19-20. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. There's a time frame in there. You see that?
Yeah.
When will their sins be blotted out, folks? At the presence of the Lord. Yeah. At his second coming to earth. Yeah. At the times of refreshing. When he takes that kingdom and he switches it back to what the Garden of Eden was before sin entered.
Amen.
Amen. That's the times of refreshing. Even the lamb will lay down what?
With the lion.
With a lion. Right? And you're going to have the lion eating straw all with the oxen. Come on, we don't see that today, do we?
Right.
They're carnivores today. That's not the way they were built in the beginning.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
But that's the way they are now. Yep. That will be reversed at the time of refreshing over here in that 1,000-year kingdom.
Yep. Amen.
Right? Boy, don't the Bible come together. All right, watch here. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So what are they looking for? Mm-hmm. They're not looking. Israel, mm-hmm. nowhere in before Paul in the Bible was any man looking to lose gravity to go up in the air to meet Jesus Christ.
Right.
They were all waiting for an earthly resurrection, for him to come back, even all the way back to the book of Job. Amen. They were looking for a resurrection in the earth to go into that earthly kingdom. That's their promise. Yeah. And what have we done? We've hijacked our promise.
Messed it up.
We're not good with our promise.
No.
That we're going to go and fill the heavens.
Right.
We're under grace, not under law, not under covenant. We're not good with that. Give me what Israel's got. And we've been stealing from that program all of our life.
Yeah.
Well, if you do this, God's going to meet you at the house today with $1,000 bill. All you got to do is sow me a seed. Well, let me ask you a question. If that works so well, why don't the pastor send me a seed?
Yeah.
Amen.
Would God bless him? If the pastor mailed me $1,000 and that program works, would he not return to him tenfold?
Yeah.
No, it has to come from me to him.
Yeah.
That's hogwash.
Amen, brother.
That's hogwash. Don't y'all get hoodwinked with them people? Right? So we see here in Acts chapter 7, and I'm going to write that one in, it fits in right here. Acts 57.
7?
Excuse me. Acts chapter 7, verse 57. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 7. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Acts chapter 7, round in there to 57.
Okay.
We see that the kingdom, it gets postponed. Why? Because Israel falls. And that's not a fall like off of a cliff. That's a diminishing.
Right.
Is
right.
What Paul calls it in Romans chapter 11. They diminish.
Yeah.
Okay? And God has stalled that prophetic program. You see, all these people out here today, every time they read the news, every time they see something on television,
God, yes.
prophecy's fulfilling itself. No, it's not. No, it's not. We're not living in prophecy, folks. We're living under the mystery program.
Amen.
You've got to have Israel. But leaving Israel on the scene to have prophecy.
Yep.
Why? Because Israel was given the prophets.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
That makes sense.
Oh, I just don't know if I can believe that or not. I'd rather stay confused.
Yeah.
Right. I'm telling you folks, we're on to something. Go up to Revelation real quick. Revelation. After we look at Revelation, we'll look at two verses there. I'm going to go back and show you one more thing. And then we're going to be done this morning. And that's pretty timely. I think I might be able to make it back to North Carolina about a half hour if I go fast
enough. I will.
Watch here, Revelation chapter 15. Can I tell you a great way to study Revelation?
It's not us.
When you go there, just say, this ain't me.
That's right.
I read this for my learning and my understanding about the earthly program,
right.
About prophecy and how all things come to an end, but I'm not there.
That's right.
Let me tell you a good way to read the book of Hebrews.
I read
this for my understanding.
Yeah.
But let me look at the title again and say,
Hebrews.
I wonder who that's written to.
Right.
That's Hebrews, I bet. When you get over there to James, and he said, I'm writing to the 12 tribes. Guess what? You're not in a tribe.
Right.
When Peter says he's writing to a holy nation, a royal priesthood, guess what? That's not you. Well, what are you doing with the Bible? You're tearing the Bible apart. No, what we're doing, we're writing the Bible, the word of truth.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
We're getting it on its proper timeline.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, so look here in the book of Revelation. And what did I say?
15.
Oh, well, I lied. Go to 11. Chapter 11. And look at verse 15. Well, I tell you what, when you get 35, things start to slip, don't they?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Somebody 35 testify that. Even worse than 52. 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become what?
The kingdoms
of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign how long?
Forever and ever.
There you go. Well, you've got the kingdom right there, folks.
Yep.
Kingdom in the earth.
Yep.
People say, well, there's only one kingdom. You're right. You are right.
Yep.
But there's two spheres.
Yeah.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is more than the earth. How does that Bible start out? heaven,
heaven and earth.
And earth.
How much is God's kingdom?
All of it.
Right.
You're in a different sphere of it.
Yep.
The Apostle Paul in Colossians 1 says he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's past tense. We're already in the kingdom of his dear Son. We're in the heavenly sphere seated in Christ. We're already in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
His power has saved us. It's preserved us. It's predestinated us. Amen. We studied all that last night. I now look up here at Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 4. And I tell you what, I think I feel more free up here than I do at home. Look here, 24. And I saw thrones, they set up on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. What's all that, folks?
Yeah.
That there's the tribulation and great tribulation. Right.
Yeah.
Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ how long?
1,000 years,
yeah. Right? But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years was over. We're finished. This is the first resurrection. That end of that 1,000 years is the great white throne judgment. Amen. Even the dead without Christ will not be called up until this 1,000-year period has ended.
Right.
Right? All right, look here in verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God. See that? Who's the priest of God? Israel.
Yeah.
And of Christ, and shall reign with him how long?
1,000 years.
Now watch this. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, out of that bottomless pit. That's where Satan will be for that 1,000 years. Now watch how stubborn and stupid this old bum is. Paul calls him. And after that 1,000 years, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, gather them together to battle, the number of whom is this, of the sand and sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about of that beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and did what?
Devoured them.
Now watch this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are already, right? And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then verse 11 shows you at the end of the 1,000 years, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. There's found no place at the end of the 1,000 years for those who reject the love of Christ to be placed into this 1,000-year kingdom or into God's kingdom, period.
All right.
They're turned away.
Yeah.
They're thrown into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
All right. Do you see this thing so far?
Yeah.
That's not too bad to put it in that realm, is it?
Nope.
It makes sense, don't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
The Bible never made sense to me until I came to write the vision. The last thing I want to show you, if you go back to Acts chapter 7, we're going to touch three verses and we're going to be done. In Acts chapter 7. This is something that Paul and I both have talked about because we're both pondering this whole thing here. And he admittedly to me, and I admittedly to him, we're both pondering it. But what I want to show you is this. I want you to look up. Now, they've stoned Stephen. Let's look here in verses 53 through 55. And the Holy Ghost is calling out Israel of all their past failures through Stephen. And watch verse 53, 7 and 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Watch this. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, watch, and Jesus doing what?
Standing.
Where's Jesus at right now?
Standing.
He's at rest, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's standing in that verse.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? And so I used to ponder that. One fellow on TV says, well, when you stand for Jesus, he stands for you. Well, that's a bird brain way to look at it. Look here, I'm going to show you the standard there in the passage. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah. When you don't know the Word of God right, the Bible, you'll just make up stuff to say, won't you?
Yep, they do it all the time.
Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Why was Christ standing? Chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Remember, they just cut off their last lifeline. They cut off the prophets, they cut off the Son. Then they cut off the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Look here at 13. The Lord standeth up to do what?
Plead.
And to do what?
To judge.
You see that?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ stood up to judge. Watch what Stephen does at the end of all this. In verse 60. Back in 760 of Acts. Watch what he does. Remember Christ on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
And he does too.
Watch what Stephen does at the end here in 60. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he had said this, he fell asleep. What was he saying?
Forgive.
Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Don't put it to their charge.
Yeah.
All right.
The Lord was standing. Isaiah says he stands to do what?
To judge.
To plead and to judge. Right now, look at James. Look at James chapter 5. Look at verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you condemn. Behold, what?
The judge
standeth at the door. So when Christ was standing,
judgment
on this nation was at a brink.
Yep.
But what did God do? Instead of bringing judgment upon Israel and the world, he ushered in the time that we have right now.
Amen. Yeah.
And it's a time of grace and peace.
Yes.
Amen.
What is the difference? What's the polar opposite of grace and peace? Judgment and war.
Yes.
When the peace is gone, judgment and war is coming.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. Folks, you're living in the greatest time in all of life history.
Yeah.
In all of history of all of man.
Yeah.
You're living under God's grace. And
absolutely.
The prophetic timeline. What God has done and is doing will be coming up. What God has suspended and what God is doing today is he's bringing a body, a mystery body, to himself by the gospel that he gave Paul. He's building that body up according to the preaching of the revelation of mystery, which is kept secret since the world began. So why do we need these prophetic scriptures? So that we know the twofold purpose of God in heaven and earth.
Right.
That's
right.
All right. Anybody have a question? Concern, complaint. If you got concerns, complaint, give it to my wife. And we'll talk about it when we ride back. Right. Everybody good? Let's pray. Father, I am so grateful for this time that we have spent here in these three sessions over your word, the fellowship with these wonderful people, the heart that these people have for your word, and the grace that I've seen in them. I'm so thankful to hear Brother Paul made it back safely. I pray for his upcoming trip out to Missouri. I pray for these folks, Lord, that they continue not faint in your word, regardless of what the number is. I'd rather have a few people built up in the Lord than I had a bunch of people built up in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray just lay that on Brother Jim's heart. Give him comfort and peace that it's going to be okay. Lord, let him see that what he's doing is not, it's not for naught. It's all going to come back to him. And build him up in the encouragement of the Word of God, the fellowship of the Word of God right in his body. Let him not stop. Let him not faint. Let him continue as a good soldier. And for all that they have been to us this week and the previous meeting that we had with them, we just give you the praise, honor, and glory for this week's fellowship. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you've made us in Jesus Christ. We give you the praise, we give you the thanks, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. And everyone did say,
Amen.
Amen.